So the future and futures thinking, foresight, and all the benefits, is that what we're going to talk about, Victor?
Yes, that is everything. But before we do that, let's just do a little introduction of who we, each of us are. So
I'm Tom Myers, also known as Tom Tom the Health Navigator. I'm from Brussels, Belgium. And why do they call me Tom Tom the Health Navigator? Because my main occupation is being an osteopath and body center stress coach. So I deal with neck, shoulders, and back pain, and I use only my hands and myself to treat people. So it's a bit like chiropraxy or physiotherapy, but blended in a more holistic view. And it's also that holistic view that has brought me into the spectrum of futures thinking, because futures thinking is also thinking about how the world is changing and how new technologies are influencing health and well-being, and am I prepared for those health and well-being problems that my patients might have in the future? So that's part of, or one part at least, of why futures thinking is so important to me, to be ready for the future of my patients, but also and especially to prevent that patients or people in general, because I'm, you have the one-to-one sessions, but through communications, to writing, through sharing, and to coming on to shows like yours, Victor, is to really let's talk about the future of our health and well-being. Personally, I've been to quite a metamorphosis 21 years ago, because although today I'm an osteopath, stress coach, author, and somebody who likes to be on stage to give presentations, 21 years ago, I was actually a very unhappy deli owner. I'm actually trained as a chef, and at 29, after having traveled around the world, and it was a good occasion. There was a friend of mine who said, why don't you open a deli, a gourmet deli, to continue after my travels to really get into life at 29 and become responsible and all of that. But after 2 months, I was depressed and suicidal. This was not my place. And luckily, I ended up with a therapist that helped me to discover or to see my past in a very different way. So it's like taking an overview perspective of life and seeing that although I was considered good for nothing, that I could be good at something, and that something was my potential, which I hadn't really come across before. So she had me through questions, look to my life and discovered that I had actually potential that I wasn't aware of. There was a therapist in me. My God, I was working in hotels and catering, and there was a therapist in me wanting to express itself. There was a communicator in me while I really didn't, I was shy when I was 29 and time before. And so she helped me to envision my future within my potential. And then she set me out into the world to evolve into my potential. And all that I am today, I could say that I futurized that all 21 years ago. I imagined it, I envisaged it, and I based it on my potential. And then so from somebody who was suicidal and depressed, good for nothing, became good at something. And and today, and like in these occasions that you're offering me, Victor, I really bless and really say thank you to not only that person, but also to the journey, and that now that I have found myself into a position where I feel in my element. So thank you for also doing this, and also to giving me the platform, but also to, you know, remind me of the journey.
Yes, that is awesome to hear, Tom. For me, one thing that I did, you know, utilizing futures thinking before I realized it was futures thinking, was planning my college finances.
That is what people underestimate. Yeah. So we all are actually, in some ways, are doing futures thinking or foresight. And the typical example that I give is brushing your teeth. And why do you brush your teeth? In mindfulness, they say, you know, you have to brush your teeth. Mindfulness, you have to raise your awareness while you're brushing it. Yes, that is fine. But why do you brush your teeth? It's not to have bad teeth later. And the bonus you get today is you have a fresh breath. Yes, so that's futures thinking already. When you plan a holiday, that's futures thinking. And when you plan a holiday for, you know, it could be a couple of weeks away, 6 months, a year away, or maybe something that you're planning for a bigger journey, some years away. Again, you know, when you start planning, when you start looking forward to that, when you start organizing, all of that is futures thinking already in most people's lives today. But now extend that to, you know, 5, 10 or longer. It's not more difficult than that. And people underestimate that when you plan, like you, your example is so great. You know, you've planned it for your course, you've planned it to pay off your loans. And then at the end of the day, you have less stress because you have planned it, you have your decisions, your choices, and your actions were aligned with it. And, you know, that loan you were able to pay off. If you don't do that, then of course at one stage you're in front of this mountain or probably a valley of debt, and it gives you a lot of anxiety and stress. So, and it's that kind of anticipation, the preparation towards future events that are so beneficial. But because we come from an evolution where we were trying to survive today and tomorrow, that it's so ingrained in us that we don't really look too much further ahead in other aspects of our lives. It's only about short-term thinking, not long-term thinking. So it's very interesting to hear your story, Victor. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's one of those that, you know, it just reminds me. I'm really proud of. But yeah, talking about the toothbrush, Tom, that's one of the things that I didn't even consider, you know, futures thinking action. For many of us, it's something that, you know, it's something that we usually do from, you know, for as long as we remember from the beginning of, you know, birth. Well, not birth, but, you know, after a few years. Then I usually don't think about it too much until recently, until you mentioned it, and it's something that I know,
and it's so simple, Victor, and that is, I think that is where I come in. You know, we have, there are a lot of theoreticists about futures thinking and foresight and so forth, but I feel that I want to bring it to a level where everybody understands it, and because I'm seeing it in my own world, how I started it 21 years ago. Like you, I was for 15, 16 years, I was even not aware that I was actually using futures thinking and foresight in my life. It's only when I started to write my book, Futurize Yourself, Design Your Life on Purpose, which didn't have that title in the beginning. It was a, you know, a book about how did I get out of my depression and suicidal depression, and how did I get to become an osteopath from the conversations and the questions I got from that therapist. And it's only and I think most people in the futures world know him, Gert Lennert. He's a Swiss futurist. I just watched one of his videos, and that was for me the first moment and connection with futures literacy. And then I went to buy his book from Technology versus Humanity. And that's how I got interested. And I said, hey, this is what I've been doing all this time. And that really changed not only the context of the book I was writing, but also in my personal life and professional life. I started to be more in awareness of the future and the benefits it had on my life, in my health and well-being, but always the benefit it was going to give me going forward. And it was, I really recognize what you're saying with your story and your loan as well into my personal life, how it came about to be a futurist or futures thinker.
But yeah, something that I kind of related to is a quote that I created for myself is, take risk and prepare for change. And I didn't mention anything of a positive change or a negative change. Prepare for any kind of change. So that's where I guess it comes to realizing the kind of changes that might be coming from the decisions that you're going to be making. And if people don't understand thinking about the future in a longer term or in a far, looking farther away, further away, as you said, then it becomes more of a blurry vision. People don't understand the kind of consequences or the kind of rewards that might come from the decision that you make today, right? Yeah. Well, what's your thought about
that?
Yeah.
Well, let's put into perspective of COVID-19. COVID-19, what we know about it today, and it's not to stigmatize anybody because we don't know where it originated, but we can imagine that it, and what is most likely, that it originated in China, and that it is somebody's behavior. Somebody's, plural. Yeah, it's not one person. It was probably multiple person. Somebody had a behavior and made a decision, made a choice, did an action that when they woke up, they didn't say, I'm going to change the world. But they did. And it's through somebody's decision and then, or a choice and an action they made, then it influenced others and others influenced others and so forth. And suddenly it went all around the world. And this is something that we should not forget, how this all started and how this was propagated all around the world. It's through decisions, choices, and actions of people, sometimes conscious, sometimes unconscious. But that means that how much of our decisions, choices, and actions influence our future. And some things are very obvious, others are not. And so if our decisions, choices, and actions are so important, are so influential, not only for our own lives shaping the future, but also automatically to others, then shouldn't we stand still with where we go and by having a vision of what we want and aligning our decisions, choices, and actions to that as much as we can, and to be in action? Because with climate change also, we've known it for over 100 years now that the likelihood that this was going to influence us is very big. So again, are we going to stay inactive, or are we going to really align ourselves to the changes that we on an individual level can make and take? Because if somebody's, if this small group of people can change the world as it did with COVID-19, imagine how our individual choices can make a difference on climate change, for example. This is something we should consider. And also, you said something in the very beginning that we are all in a way, coming different into this futures thinking kind of or using foresight. But at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We're all different, but we all want something that is the same. And we want what I call a great future. We want a good future where we are resilient so we can adapt. We want to feel that we evolve and grow. We want to have it, we want to be in action, and we also want to have an actionable future, something that we can realize, and transcendent future. So that's the acronym GREAT, G-R-E-A-T. Transcendent in meaning we come into this world, and when we go out of this world, when we die, we want to leave the world a better place. I think it's a profound part of our existence that we all have that we want to leave this world a better place. And so, but how do you create a great future? Well, you have to think about it. You have to think about what is a good future for you and for others, and how do you evolve, and what do you want to grow into? And to, instead of being so spread out and doing a bit of this and this and that, is to really focus on, okay, to create the future or envisage the future you want to evolve into, a future that is 10, 15, 20 years from now. I say, from okay, that is really what I want for myself and others. And with small steps to really start aligning yourself with that image of the future that you want to see in this world. And that is really so important, because also for health and well-being reasons, it gives you bonuses on the way, and some things will still happen that are not under your control. But again, the more that you know yourself, the more that you know where you're going, the more that you are able to navigate these unexpected changes, because you know how you can realign to be again in your element. But it means that you need to ask, you need to sit down, step back, take an overview perspective, and really ask some good questions, or find somebody with whom you can discuss these questions, or go onto the clubhouses, or go onto the Twitter spaces to listen into other people's stories. As I was inspired by Gert Lennert's story, what he shared, and with his books, and then many, many other books after that.
When you're talking about the individual futures, you know, people, you know, pursuing their individual future, but also helping the world, you know, become a better place or leaving it in a better place, it kind of reminds me of a term, collective futures, that I really am more, you know, interested in. You know, how can the whole world get together and actually go to a future that benefits everyone, at least try to, right?
Yeah. There is a word, and that is holon. And holon means that it's simultaneously a whole in and of itself, as well as a part of a larger whole. That's who we are. Yeah. As a human being, I'm a whole in and of itself, but I'm as well part of a larger whole society. I could say for my body the same thing. My body is trillions of cells, which are a whole in and of itself, as well as a part of a larger whole, me, Tom. And I believe that we have disconnected from that aspect. We are very much living, and also that social media has added to that we are not really into that community spirit anymore, that we are this individual. But we are not. We are part of a larger whole. So whatever we do has effect on other people. And what other people do has an effect on us. And maybe it's good to remind ourselves that we come back into that more collective thinking from a from that kind of personal perspective. We don't have control over everything. But Vern Wheelwright, the father of personal futures, said that also, while organizations can look and have the means to have to look wider and to bring changes ahead that are, much more consequential in many ways, we have to look at what we can change in personal future. It's about us and our direct environment, and maybe larger than that. Because look at what we're doing here, Victor. You're across the Atlantic. I'm from Brussels, and Sylvia, who is listening in, she's in California, I believe. So, we are influencing each other. What we are saying, this influences another person, and you might tell that to somebody in your neighborhood. And so my conversation, my insight just go around the world very quickly in this, using social media. But for example, in my practice is the same thing. I say something to a patient or I heal a patient and, she's feeling great. She has, no more pain. They go home. The home environment changes because when she has or he has no pain anymore, then of course, then the next conversation will be different in the family. And that changes again, other people. Our friends and family. So you're right, we have to think of the collective more, but the change starts with us as an individual on a personal level. And we also may not forget that sometimes that we put our own individual needs to the side for the collective. And sometimes we put the collective aside for our personal. We need to find the right blend between the two of us, between the two, between the personal and the collective, so that that what we're doing for the collective doesn't destroy us, and that what we do for ourselves doesn't destroy the collective.
That's actually a good idea of how to approach that, Tom. I really like that. But yeah, tell me more about the book, your futurizing book, Futurizing You.
Yeah, Futurize Yourself, Design Your Life on Purpose. So basically, it's more autobiographical in the way that, how did I get to that situation where I was suicidal and depressed? And how do I get myself out of there? And it was really the getting out of there, thanks to some help by a coach, was that she helped me with three stages. One, she helped me to see my past from a different perspective, so from an overview perspective. I was considered good for nothing. I was told I was good for nothing. I was told that, by my father, for example, at a very unfortunate moment, that he couldn't be proud of me and blah, blah, blah. And I had done things that were great, but with my daily failing, I really started to believe that whatever they said about me not being good enough, that they were right. I had proven it now. They knew it all along that I was good for nothing. So why continue on living when life was just going to give me more misery, and that it was always going to be more of a way down than a way up? But what the therapist did was he said, but, if you look at it from a different perspective, you might have been good. You might not have been good at things, but let's look at what you have as potential. And through three questions, which was, why I look up at people, I had to describe my best friends and say, oh, he's so good in this and she's so good in that. I wish I could have that talent like he had. And the second question was, why did people come to me and not my friends? So what did they consult me about and didn't go to other people? And the third question was, what had I done that I thought from if I could do this for the rest of my life? This was homework that she gave me. And when I answered these questions, and then when we discussed them, actually uncovered that there was a therapist in me, a communicator, a teacher, a researcher, and a traveler, five key words. And it was like this realization that I'm born with this potential, but I never had done anything with it. I never even knew about it, that this was something I was being born with. And it, when a talent, a skill, an aptitude that you're born with, and you haven't really nourished it, it doesn't become anything. A potential is something that, when developed, can become something in the future. So I started to imagine my future, because she asked me, she said, "From describe an ideal day in 10 years' time," and just putting it all together. So, okay, I was good at nothing in all what I did before, but I have potential. So if I have this potential, and then, you know, if I put it into action, if I started to develop it and really bring it to life, then life must become more meaningful, and it must become into something that is that I'm born to be. So I put it into a phrase, and it was, "I'm a therapist, I've developed my own approach, I've written a book about it, and I've asked around the world to give presentations and workshops." That was my image of the future 10 years from that day. And even though I didn't believe really that I was ever going to be all of those things, I did give it my best shot. And what happened is that it actually all came through. I actually developed all these skills. And yes, I became more in my element year upon year. And yes, it was still difficult. And there were many moments of crisis. But because I was doing it for a purpose and on purpose, it became, all the difficulties became actually something that I could rationalize.
Thanks for sharing, Tom. Yeah, talking about these books and yours, I realized that there's not a lot of personal futures thinking books, you know, just relevant for personal uses. And yours is one of them that I came across to alongside The Future You by Brian David Johnson. And it's pretty awesome that you're creating a book, a manual of some sort, that other people can utilize the lessons that you learn and for them to apply to their own personal life and their own personal future. And is there anything, you know, the one thing that you want people to get out from this new book of yours?
Yeah. Before I go on to that, there is two more books that I know of that are in the personal futures area, which is, of course, Vern Wheelwright's book, It's Your Future, Make It a Good One, you know, which is a very didactical book with exercises that you can do to create your future. So it's, you know, that's the first book ever on this topic, I suppose. And the other one that I found recently is Think Forward to Thrive by Janice Filhauer. That is also a very good book from a psychologist's point of view on how to create, you know, and use futures thinking in your life. So these two books, together with The Future You, are, together with mine, the four books that I know of that address at this moment the personal futures. And to your question, from what do I want to get out of the next book, is really the aspects of thinking about the future you want. What the future do you want? And to ask that question, because often I am confronted here in my practice when I ask about, for example, how do you want to feel? So here is my patients are, they come in with pain, back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, depression, not feeling in their element and so forth. And when I ask them, how do you want to feel? They have no answer. It's like, and I say, from this is, you know, this is a futures directed question. How do you want to feel on an ideal day? And more often than not, I get a blank stare. It's like they suddenly disappear. And then after a while, they come back and they say, I actually never thought about it. And then I'm wondering, and that's what I want to share with people. So this is such a vital question. What do you want? Why do you do what you do? And how do you make decisions, choices, and actions if you don't know where you're really going at the end of the day? It's most of the time when people are on their deathbed, they're saying from, oh, I wish I had done this and I wish I had done that, and I have many regrets. It's also, most people are only starting to think about their purpose in life or giving their life some meaning and purpose is when they had a near-death experience. Do we really need to go that deep down the rabbit hole to really start considering that we can give our life meaning and purpose? So my book is more towards that, those kind of questions, and to really bring people into connection with the future and the world that is changing, and how they are going to navigate these changes by having an idea of what a great, and the acronym GREAT, good, resilient, evolving, actionable, and transcendent future is. Because today, we can shape the future. The past is the past, it's come and gone. We can't change that anymore, but the future doesn't exist. But it doesn't mean that we don't have influence over it. Every choice, every decision, every action we take influences our future. We can anticipate future scenarios and prepare for it. And whatever scenario plays out, the more that we prepare ourselves and the more that we align our daily choices, daily decisions, choices, and actions, the better we are in our element, the better we are in navigating the changes, the better we are into going forward and have what we want, whatever, however the world changes. And that is, I want to feel content, fulfilled, happy, meaningful. That's what it turns around at. It's bringing it back to the essence of life. It's doing things that make you feel meaningful, purposeful, makes you feel good.
In some way, I think thinking about the future and taking charge of the future gives you that sense of control. You know, a lot of things that are out of control, you know, drives us crazy, right? Such as accidents and unpredictable weather conditions. But I really like the concept behind your book. And when is it going to be coming out, being released?
I'm still in the process of writing it, but let's hope that the 1st of March that it will be published. The 1st of March is World Futures Day or something like that. So I really want to have it out on that day. That would be great. Yeah. We can expect more of these changes, more of this climate, effects over the next couple of years, but also jobs. 1 in 3 jobs will be influenced by automation and robotization. So I also, in my book, recommend people to go to a website called replacedbyrobots.info, where you can find the likelihood of your job being automated over the next 10, 20 years. And then when you still have, you know, when you see that you have 30 to 50% that of likelihood of your job being automated, then I would suggest that you start today reskilling and upskilling yourself to something that will be useful in the next over, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years. And after, don't reskill yourself to something that is going to be not useful anymore in 5 to 10 years, because that's a waste of time. You know? So you really need to look longer ahead also when you're looking at reskilling or upskilling your potential. Very important today.
We're at the end of our time. Is there anything, you know, last things that you want to mention to say?
So be good to you and be good to your future, and your is you and ours. So the whole on it is the collective future. And also whatever you do, mind the body before your body reminds you. Yeah. Every experience, every change, every thought, every dream is processed by your body. If everything changes, the one thing that you will carry or that will carry you along is your body. When your body is mens sano in corpore sano, your body will, the way your body is, so will be your future. Yeah? Your body state influences your thinking, influences your decisions, choices, and actions. So make sure that whatever you do, take care of your body. Make sure that it has enough of rest, that it has enough of time to recuperate and regenerate. So that when decisions need to be made, when you're in front of a change, and when you need to step up your game, that your body is ready for that. It's from a body-centered stress coaching point of view, and as an osteopath, this is one of the most important messages I can give you. Mind your body before your body reminds you.